the only difference between here and Florida is that Florida has air conditioning. So I'm really sorry. You're going to have to use your bulletins or the person next to you or whatever just to fan you this morning. But it's going to be warm. It's going to be warm, but we will persevere. Listen, welcome to you. Welcome. It's love standing on the door on a Sunday morning. Just seeing all of you coming in, being able to shake your hand or pat you on the back or give you a hug or whatever. Loads of different people here, as usual, from all over the world. From all over the world. It's a kind of church in the right sense. We're all going to be thinking about this now, Dave. It's a kind of church in the right sense that God has given us. And we're really, really thankful for that. So let's just keep praying for the development of our work and our church. And meet somebody new this morning. Try to just find someone and chat to someone. I know it's not the easiest thing to do sometimes, but it's even harder if you're here for the first time and nobody talks to you. So maybe look out for somebody and welcome somebody in this morning. Loads to pray for, as Jake has said. This is our Activate year. We have teams out now. We've got a team in Ecuador that's out just now. Keep praying for them. It's been really rainy, really muddy, but they've done some great, great work inside in the town hall that they have there. Keep praying for them. Loads of children have come in and heard the gospel. So pray for our team out in Ecuador as they finish up the work there. Pray for Bob Espy and James Morris, who head to Romania for our next team on Saturday. So they're going to be out for one of the camps in Romania. So pray for them as well. Pray for Andrew Fischbacher this morning, who had a really bad accident on his bike. Chris Highcock was right behind him this morning coming in, and he went over on his bike, and it looked fairly serious. He's up, and I don't know if he's gone to the hospital or not, but do pray for our brother Andrew that God would have his hand on him this morning as he recovers from that. Okay, Exodus 18 is where we are. So if you have a Bible, turn to Exodus 18. If you don't have a Bible, put your hand up. Love for you to have a Bible. It's great to be able to see what we're doing. Okay, put your hand up and get a church Bible from one of the guys coming down the aisles. We're in Exodus 18. Israel are in the desert. Okay, bit of context. Israel are in the desert. Just now, potentially millions of them. Okay, a lot of people. A lot of people. Let me ask you, are you hot this morning? Are you hot? Can you feel it? Okay, keep that in mind. Israel are in the desert, potentially millions of them. They're on their way to Mount Sinai. It's hot, it's hard, it's been harrowing for them. The other day I walked for about 20 minutes down to the shops in the heat, and I was done. All right? Can you even imagine weeks? Weeks, which in due course will turn into months, and then into years, in the desert, eating manna, hot and sticky, and all of them utterly human. All right? Can you feel it? Right? Can you feel it? You know what it's like when you get hot and hungry and hangry and right and bothered and. Okay, can you feel it? Just you need to feel it a little bit. This is the text. This is where we are. And it's going to make some sense just as we keep going on through these different passages. That's where we're at. And you're trying to trust God for your food. In the midst of all this, you know you need to trust God. He's just delivered them. Even if they don't get it all at this point, they know they need to trust God. And so they're trying to trust God for their food and for their water and their health and their strength and their kids and their safety. Never mind all of the inevitable issues, right? The church is not a building. The church is people. The church is people. I'm so glad that Dave preached my sermon for me this morning in the kids' talk. If you want any applications, I don't think there's any more that I could make than what Dave made. But the church is people. And when you get people together, things happen. Some good things happen. Sometimes some not so good things happen. People on people, life on life. It's tough. It's hard. We're human. And that's where we are. That's what's going on here with all these people, all the different stuff and the issues that are surely going to come when millions of hot, sweaty, frustrated human people wander together on a journey. All right? Are you getting it, guys? Are you getting it? Because ready or not, faith mission, here we come. Right? Ready or not, faith mission, here we come. And I hope you're putting two and two together here on all this. Keep that in the back of your mind. All right? So here we are in Exodus 18, headed for Sinai. When the writer tells us now that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes out to meet him in the desert, brings Moses' wife and his children out, and Jethro comes to meet Moses in the desert. We pick it up in verse 7. They're on their way to Sinai. Moses' father-in-law comes out to meet them, and Moses bows down and kisses him when he arrives. And then watch this, verse 8, tells his father-in-law, Jethro, everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. And all the hardship that they had confronted on the journey and how the Lord had rescued them. Then down to verse 13. Told all this, they had a meal together. And then on the next day we're told that Moses sat to judge the people, millions of them, hot and sticky and bothered. Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before him from morning until evening. And when Jethro saw all that Moses did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me. And I judge between one and another." And it seems to be that a lot of the difficulties were relational between them. Pick that up. Do you see that? "And I judge between one and another. And I make known the statutes of God and his law." What does God want you to do in the circumstances of your life? What does God want you to do? I know you know what you want to do. I know what I want to do. What does God want us to do when we face different issues and circumstances in our lives? And he introduces him to God and to his laws. You just remember all these hot, sweaty human people. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good." You'd almost think that Jethro might say, "Wow, man. Wow, I'm in awe of what you're doing, Moses. Wow, what a guy. Pat him on the back. Go get him, Moses." Right? Not what he says. "The thing that you do is not good," he says. "Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You're not able to perform it by yourself." Listen, are Dave Nixon's words still ringing in your ears from last week? And Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' hands, right? There's a bit of a theme here. "Listen now to my voice," Jethro says. "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And then teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do." That's interesting. Verse 21, "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. And then let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all the people will also go to their place in peace." And listen, every pastor, ministry leader, Sunday school teacher, elder, and deacon said, "Amen, long live delegation." Right? Long live delegation. That's what's going on here. Not shirking my responsibility. Can I just kind of say that up front? Okay, when we talk about passing things on or letting others do, not shirking my responsibility, that's not what Jethro is saying, and not quitting and leaving someone else holding the bag, but recognizing that God never intended his kingdom work to be a one-man or a one-woman show. And guys, I think we're really going to need to remember this more than ever in the days to come, don't you? I think we're still sitting here just now and coming in and everything's set up for us and it's all done and all. That's going to change. That's going to change fairly soon. That's all going to change. And guys, we're going to need each other. We're going to need each other. And we're going to need to share the load. And we're going to need to share the work. Paul says in Ephesians 4:16 that Corrubbers is, listen to this, Corrubbers is held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Folks, this is so important. This has always been important. It's not just important now because we're going to move out of the building. This has always been important. This has always been important. And we talk about it a lot. And we try to make space for this and give opportunity for this. But this is so important. This is so important. It's important to God. And because it's important to God, it ought to be important to us. So let me just give you three quick observations here, all right? We're going to head into communion. We're going to remember what Christ did for us. We're going to remember the foundation of all the work. But we need to remember what Christ said about the structure and being a part of the structure and who we are. Okay, it's just three quick observations here. And then we'll share together in remembrance of the Lord's death. All right, number one, as we journey through life and ministry, and for us, our journey is going to be taking a new turn here in the next few months. But as we journey through life and ministry, give thanks for Jethro's. Amen? Right? As we journey through life and ministry, give thanks for Jethro's. Did you see this? Because my goodness, we need them. We need these guys and we need these gals. Jethro's and Jethrets or whatever it is. Okay, we need them. We need them. In the words of Paul Tripp, Scripture teaches us that sin blinds us. And because it does, we often don't see or hear ourselves with accuracy. The doctrine of the deceitfulness of sin teaches us that we don't know ourselves well. So, I need help. And since God is the helper of helpers and is unwilling to leave me to my blindness, he sends helpers my way. He puts people in my life who love me enough to step into hard moments with me, helping me to see what God wants me to see. Listen, do you have people like this in your life? Think about it. Do you? Have you? Have people like this in your life? If so, you need to be really, really thankful. People who are saturated with the Word of God, inspired with the vision of God, filled with the love of God, and crazy about the glory of God. You got people like that in your life. If you do, then thank God, man. Right? And take some time to thank them as well. People like this who have all that and are willing, despite the cost, to tell us what we need to hear when we need to hear it. And I say despite the cost because when somebody steps up like this in your life and tells you what you need to hear when you need to hear it, you're usually not happy. Is that fair? Yeah, well, what right do they want? And well, they've got their own, all that kind of right. And, come on, don't look at me like that. Right? It all, it's not easy to hear. It's not easy, but it's necessary. It's necessary to have Jethro's. It's necessary to have people speaking into our life like this. By golly, Moses had one here. When he sits to judge the people, verse 13, look at this. From morning till evening on his own. He's carrying the whole deal on his own shoulders. And this is, well, you might just think, what a guy. No, Jethro comes in here and says, Moses, not good for you. It's not good for them. One man show. I can do it. I can do it. Right? I'm like that a little bit. I can do it. No, just leave me. I can do it. I know people like that. I know, no names. But I know people like that. On his own. And Jethro steps up, verse 14, faithful guy. Jethro steps up, verse 14, and he says, Moses, what are you doing? What? He looks at me, he says, what? And it wasn't one of those, Moses, what are you doing? You know, can I? No, it wasn't like that. It was like your mother used to say. Remember that voice? Come on, think back. Wayne, what are you doing? What? And you knew right away that you weren't supposed to be doing it. Something was wrong. What are you doing? One of those voices. I had to hear that a lot. And yet, listen, Proverbs 6:23 says that the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. We need them. We need them. We need people to be just walking with us and helping us. My sin blinds me. I don't always know myself. I don't often know myself. I think I'm doing right. Any of you guys married? Right? Close relationships, living in a flat. Comes up all the time. You think you know it, and you've got your whole world kind of, and somebody else is just looking on. Like, what are you doing? You need that. It's exactly how, this is where I want the inflected Bible. I want to hear how Jethro said this. What are you doing? The reproofs of discipline are the way of life. And I bet, because Moses is writing this. Remember, Moses is the one writing this. He could have left this bit out. Would have done him some good. He would have looked better. Wouldn't it? Think about that. I often think about that when I read the Gospels or whatever. They put this, very human, very human. Moses is writing this. Could have left it out. But I bet that when all this was done and dusted, Moses was so thankful for Jethro, don't you think? He's doing the whole thing on his own, morning till night. But he was so thankful for Jethro. And I bet his life was a whole lot better as a result. What a blessing this guy was to him. Give thanks for Jethro's. And if you've got one in your life, then give thanks for him or her. Thank them as well. Okay, so that's the first thing. Give thanks for Jethro's. And let's be listening to one another. We don't know it all. We don't often even know ourselves. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Let's be listening to one another. And maybe when that little voice comes on your shoulder, like, who do they think they are? Be aware of that and just say, no, you shut up for a minute. Maybe they've got something to say. Give thanks for Jethro's, number one. Number two, as we journey through life and ministry, give thanks for a wonderfully faithful God. Amen? Get all the ups and downs, all the stuff in the desert, all the right. Give thanks for a wonderfully faithful God. Lamentations 3:22 says that the love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm honing in here on verse 8. Look at verse 8. I'm honing in on verse 8, right? In verse 7, we're told Jethro comes. He comes out in the desert, Moses' wife and children. Jethro comes out in the desert, and Moses goes out to meet his father-in-law and bows down and kisses him. Right? Listen, great way to treat your father-in-law, isn't it? Great way to treat your father-in-law if you want to stay on his good side. Bow down, kiss him. I've not tried this one with Trevor yet because he's a bit too British, right? But I give him lots of hugs. I give him lots of hugs and handshakes. Right? But you get the idea. You get the idea. Respect, respect, respect. But then interesting, verse 8. Look at verse 8. When Moses then bowed down, kisses him, and then just unloads. It's like he's got to get it off his chest. And maybe that's what started, you know, firing a bit in Jethro's head. It's like I got to tell somebody. Because I don't imagine, you know, What is it from Saving Private Ryan or whatever? Gripes go up the way. Is that not right? Gripes go up the way. Some orders come down the way. Gripes go up the way. Is that what it is? Right? So Moses, who's Moses got? Who's Moses got? Think about him. He's doing it all himself, and he's in the desert, and he's got to put up with these guys. Moses has got his own problems. Of course he does. He's got to put up with these guys, and they're moaning, and they're groaning, and they're hungry, and they're thirsty. And are you feeling it, guys? Anybody feeling hot yet? All right, there are weeks, months, years. And Moses is feeling it. And it comes across to me that he's got to get it off his chest. So he tells his father-in-law everything. I don't know how long it took. But he tells his father-in-law everything that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. And he told him about all the hardship. He had to get these people. Can you see him? He told him all the hardship that had confronted them on the journey and how the Lord had rescued them. But do you see where the emphasis is? Look back at that verse. Where's the emphasis? It's not on hardships, is it? It's on the Lord and what the Lord had done for them. And that's really, that just hit me. Because stuff happens in my life, and what do I make the emphasis? I make the stuff the emphasis. We all do. We make the issues the emphasis, the people the emphasis. Moses doesn't do that. He puts the emphasis on the Lord's faithfulness. Did you notice that? That's precisely the right way around. We usually get it the other way around, and we moan and we groan and we complain about our hardship, just like Israel were doing. But Moses puts the spotlight where it belongs, on God's faithfulness. And then he asks us to look back and remember. He puts the emphasis on God's faithfulness. Guys, this is what we try to do when we meet like this. We should be. It should be what we do when we visit each other. It should be what we do in our home groups. It should be do when we meet in classes. It just should be what we do as a body of people living and moving and having our being together. It should be what we do. Point each other to the Lord's faithfulness. We need to listen to the, sometimes we need to just sit down, put the helmet on, and just let people pile it on us because they have to get it off their chest. But point them to the right place. Point them to the Lord and look back and remember. All the way. How's the song go? All the way. What? My Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus, what? Doeth all things well. Does all things well. And listen, I can guarantee you in the days to come, once we start packing up and moving out and setting up and tearing down and setting up and tearing down and setting up and tearing down and setting up and tearing down. You feeling it? It's coming, guys. It's coming. I hope you're going to stick with us. But it's coming. God wants to do something in us, with us. Please. He does. This isn't just going to be one big bother. You think it's going to be one big bother? We know we're looking at the new, we've seen the plans and everything. Wow, can't wait to get back in. That's coming. But before we get to the promised land, right? Before we get to the promised land, we're going to wander for a bit in the desert. We're getting, don't tell that to the faith mission people. I don't mean that's a desert up there. But you know what I mean? It's going to be, and all I can say is just, hasten autumn when it gets cool again. We're not doing that in this. But it's coming. I can guarantee once we start doing that, we're going to desperately need to remember what an amazingly faithful, gracious, loving, kind, wise God we have. We're going to have to look to him, not our hardships. And this is just true for life, guys. This isn't just something for us as we move out. It's true for life. We just got to remind ourselves of that. And what is our vision and our mission together as a church? We're going to have to remind each other of this. Are you with me? So when you're sitting there in the next year or whatever, and you're just sitting, I'm fed up, remember that. How faithful is God? How faithful has he been to you, and will he be to you? Every morning his mercies are new. His loving kindness never, never ends. Okay, so give thanks for Jethro's. Give thanks for God's faithfulness. And finally here, give thanks for, I don't know how you want to put this, teamwork, one another, the church, the body. Just give thanks for this. Give thanks that we can share in this together. Amen? We're not asking any one person in the coming year or whenever to do it all. That is not what we're asking to do. But by golly, we need everybody. We're not asking one person to do it all, but by golly, how do you eat an elephant, right? I mean, just everybody takes a bite. Thank God for, I'm saying, teamwork here. And this is probably the clearest lesson in the story. You can't miss this. Verse 18, end of verse 18. Moses, you can't handle it, what? What does he say? On your own. Moses, you can't handle it on your own. My goodness, of course you can't, because God never intended his kingdom work to be on our own. He never intended it that way. It's not the way he built it. He didn't intend 80% of the 20% of the people to do 80% of the work. You hear that over and over, and I don't think that's necessarily what we've got here, but, you know, we can always do better. We can always do better, right? I keep looking over there at Doug, but, you know, not that he's doing all the work, but, you know, we can do better. We can do better, always. That's not the way God intended it to be. Some people call this delegation. Some people call this delegation. Pat's not here this morning, but if you talk to Pat, she would say that I'm the king of it. I'm the king of delegation. We have meetings, and I say, well, okay, who's going to do that? Oh, and who's going to do that? And so, you know, every now and again, I pick up something myself. Some people call this delegation. I like to call it body life. I just like to call it body life, because I think that's what the Bible calls it. That's the picture the Bible gives us. God created a body. God created a body. He didn't create one big finger. Right? Ring any bells? Where Paul says this, exactly what Paul says. He didn't create just one part. He created a body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. For the body is not one part, but many. And God has arranged the parts, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, but one body. Listen, you get it. That's us. Many parts, one body. Because there's more than any one of us could ever do on our own. We have to share it. This is church. It's not the building. It's the people. Thank you, Dave. It's the people. We have to share it. Corrubbers is a body, and God has arranged it, Paul says. Corrubbers is a body, and God has arranged it so everybody plays their part, because he's gifted each one of us. If we're a part of this church, we perceive ourselves to be a part of this church, then God has gifted you to play your part. Because let me tell you something, and this I've seen this so much over the years. If we don't play our part, watch this. If we don't play our part, we will never, never feel our part. If we don't play a part, we'll never feel a part. So it's an amazing thing how it happens as we share and use what God has given us for his glory. There's no way around it. This is how God has created the church, held together by that which every joint supplies, Paul says. According to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body, building itself up in love. I'm so glad that my good friend Tom Cunningham has walked in here this morning with Carolyn. Welcome to Tom and Carolyn again. Many, 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 many years of faithful service here at Corrubbers, now back in the States. But a good number of our missionaries are on the field because of faithful discipling. It was one of the bits on the building that Dave pointed out to the kids, discipling. And I'm so glad, Tom. I had no idea you're going to be here, brother, but Tom used to tell a story, and Tom, I'm going to tell it here this morning. It's a very short story. But I worked together with Tom years ago in something called the School of Christian Discipleship, and Tom would tell this story about four persons named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Okay, so Tom, you're getting the credit here, not me, for this. We would tell it in the context, really, of the Great Commission, essentially, and everybody getting out there to reach everyone. It's just a super concept there. I think it fits perfectly here as well. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. And anybody could have done it, but as usual, nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, and nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, when actually anybody should have known that everybody was to blame. You get it? Funny little story, but my goodness, it hits the spot, doesn't it? It hits the spot. And so just as we close and we get ready to come to communion here this morning, how are we doing? This is a great little story here, tucked away in Exodus 18. But how are we doing? We're meant to look at the Bible, learn some lessons, apply it to our lives here, our church here. Guys, it's coming close. We had builders in this week, and looking at the building and starting to make some offers. And so it's getting close. And it's going to be very, very different. I've never done this before. We had a refurbishment years ago, but we stayed here. I've never done this before. It's going to be a new experience for all of us. How are we doing? How are we doing? And not just for the move out, but just how are we doing? How are we doing? Are you a part of the body? Are you a part of the body? The Bible teaches us that we're not just hanging around the church, but are you a part of the body? You become a part of the body when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone for your forgiveness and your reconciliation with God. Are you a part of the body? Never mind about everything else. Rather than having you humping boxes with us, we'd rather you come to the cross. And if you've not done that yet, then that's the first stop along the way, right? But then get on board. Get on board. We're a body. We're a body. And it is exciting. It's exciting to be a body. I'm looking back now 34 years. Next year is my last year here. And I'm looking back. And you know what I'm really, really thankful for? You know what I remember most? I remember working together with you guys. That's what I remember most. I don't remember my holidays. They all kind of blend into one. I love them, but they all blend into one, my holidays and all. It's kind of the trenches work when you're down there with people serving Christ. That's what I remember. And as for us old boys and old gals, right? The older you get, that's what you remember. How have I invested my life? How have I invested my life? Not what fun did I have? How have I invested my life? A lot of young people, a lot of non-old people here this morning. Right? So when you get to my place, what are you going to look back on? We all have regrets one or another, but let's have as few as possible. And let's just thank God. Thank God for Jethro's. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for one another. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for all of this. All of this. Go before us, Lord. Oh, we so need you in these coming days and weeks and months, maybe a year or so. We so need you. I want to ask you together, Lord, go before us. Help us. Help us to put up with one another. Help us to remember your faithfulness. Help us remember that love covers a multitude of sins. Help us just to work together well. But especially now, Lord, help us to remember Christ as we come to this table and give thanks for the greatest thing that's ever been done for us, the shedding of his blood for our sin. And help us, Lord, to go and spread this news for the glory of God and the joy of the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.